We are on page 321, 322, Shar Yehudva Amuna, chapter 8. Okay, and the top numbers, it's Pei Hei. Okay? Which is the flip side of 170, yes. So, we are engaged in understanding how we exist. This is continuing the questions or the analysis of Yehudit HaTov, which is the perception of our existence. And basically we're up to the point where we have to understand that our existence is nullified to the godliness which is enclosed within us, and we use the system of what's referred to as memalikol only, we talked about last week, in which the godliness fits into everything, and the everything is totally and completely dependent on that godliness, which is enclosed in it, keeping it in existence. And it's because of this hislavshus that we exist the way we exist. Okay, let me give an example with the word hislavshus. You have the expression, the clothes make the man. Okay, if someone were to walk in right now and he was wearing ripped up jeans and had long scraggly hair and was wearing sandals, even though it's 40 degrees outside, we would assume that this person is, of course, a Lubavitcher Chassid. No. We would assume something different as if this person walked in
three brick short
wearing a three-piece suit with a tie with cufflinks, monogram shirt, the whole business.
Yes.
We would assume different things about each of these people. Sure. Okay? So, there's a very funny skit that was done of two guys in a bathhouse are getting, they're both getting dressed, and at the, you know, they both have big beards, and they're in the bathhouse, and the time they get done talking, they're talking politics, they're talking this, it's that, they're like good buddies. By the time they get finished dressing, so one of them is a chassid, and the other one's a hippie, you know, so, because they're wearing nothing, so they both, you know, the beard, so, you know, so, Manus Friedman also has one of his lectures on clothing that he does. He talks about the difference between a uniform and a costume. You know, people ask him why he's dressed the way he's dressed, and he says it's a uniform, as opposed to the way you people are dressed, which is merely just a costume. You know, because everybody addresses to identify themselves some way. And I can tell you, when I was a teenager, before I was from, the clothes that I was wearing would definitely be considered a costume. Pink bell bottoms, rib knit t-shirts, you know, so this is definitely the costume. It was not a uniform. Okay, but we're not going to go into that. But, so it's the same type of deal, is that the way that the godliness encloses in itself is the way that the thing is expressed. Okay, so you're going to continue on this idea. So hine mashe kosev harambam zal she kodesh baruch hu mahusu atzmus v'dayta hakol echad mamash. He's been analyzing the beginning of the Rambam Yesoda Satera, who he's the knowledge knower and the known, and he knows it because he knows himself. He knows them, that causes him to know every creature. The knowledge of the creature is what brings the creature into existence. So, and he says, because Hashem, his essence and his being and his essence and his knowledge are all one thing. Achdus Peshut of Eloi Merkavas Klal. It's one simple entity and it's not a composition. Like, for example, if you're talking about us, I have a Mahus, I have an Atzmus, and I have a Das. My Atzmus, my essence, is my Neshama. My Mahus is my body. And my das is my knowledge, which is the corresponding soul power as it's enclosed in body. And my knowledge is based on my environment. What I know is based on the bits of information I've come to pick up as I've gone along through my life. With Hashem doesn't have a body, a soul, and an intellect. Hashem has an existence which is what he is. The word mahus comes from the word mahu. And his mahus, what he is his das, is the acquired knowledge.
Acquired?
Yeah, except with him it's not acquired. With him it's not acquired. It's an achdus, pshuta v'lo markav, it's not a composition at all. And so too is not just with das, but it's also anytime you're going to have any type of attribute, anything you're going to ascribe to Hashem, it's not a composition, it's not an add-on to Hashem. Yeah. And this is correct throughout the whole spectrum of creation. We talked about this way back in chapter 4. Right. That the creation doesn't add anything to Hashem, but is there an Atzilus? Yes, there is an Atzilus. Does Atzilus have a very specific function? Yes, the 10 spheres in Atzilus have very specific functions. Are they limited? They're limited in what their functions do. Each one of them is unlimited because it's Atzilus. And it's going to be, you can say the same thing going down through the whole entire Seder Histalshlus until you come to here, this world. Does a rock exist? Yes, a rock exists. Is it something separate from Hashem? No. Hashem is the rock. That still holds true. Not that the rock is Hashem, that's called idolatry, but Hashem is the rock. And so too does what he said. He gives, for example, all the things that Hashem is called. You find in the Torah and you find in the Gemara, like Chanun and Rachum and Chasid, any other attribute you're going to call Hashem the Eibishter, which means the above, or you're talking in English, the Almighty, the Omnipotent.
Think of Ardehu from the Seder.
All of those things that we call Hashem isn't adding anything onto Hashem. You're not creating multiplicity by saying that Hashem could do this and Hashem could do that. V'kein masha nikra chacham, d'ksiv v'gam hu chacham. And Hashem's also called a sage. You got a verse there that says he's a chacham. V'kein retzainik, he writes Hashem as yireyav. That Hashem, it says Hashem wants those who fear him. V'chafetz chesed, and he desires to do kindness. So this tells that Hashem has a retzain. But unlike me, that my ratzon is not me. So my ratzon is an expression of what it is that my me wants. But with Hashem, it's all one thing. He has to throw this in because, after all, the purpose of learning all of this is not to, as the expression is in Yiddish, chap malachim. We're not trying to grab spheres over here. We're not trying to become ethereal beings. But the purpose of all of this is that we become better people. So what is he brings in over here? He says that Hashem doesn't want v'loy ratza misasin shol rishayim, ratza b'tshuvasin shol rishayim. Hashem doesn't want rishayim to die. If he did, he'd kill them. He wants them to do tshuva.
Right.
He's been saying this all the way through. Back in chapter 32, when he says, you got a guy that you really should hate. This guy really deserves to be hated. This guy is the worst absolute possible dude on the entire world. And you know what? We're talking Jews. And you know what? You can't hate him. You have to have rachmanis on him. At least, at the very least, you should say, this guy saw neshama zachelik elikam nimal mamish. And it goes from an eager rama, libira mikta, from a very high, lofty mountain, and gets stuffed into the very low pit. So you have to say that this guy is chelak elikam mimal mamash. It's a rachmanis where it wound up. Yeah. I have such rachmanis on this guy.
Yeah.
That's hard. I have to do it. That's why the Alter Rebbe put Harini Mekabal Alay Mitzvah Saseh Shavahaf Lerecha Kamocha at the beginning of davening. Because the Avas Yisrael is a vehicle towards Avas Hashem. And you can't say, I love everybody except that guy. Sorry. If that's the case, then you have to work on it until you love that guy too. And you can't daven until you do. That's why it's put right before is put it right at the very beginning, before Ma Tovu. Because what's the first word of davening is Ma. What does Ma mean?
What?
What does what mean? Yeah, exactly.
That which is.
What? No. Ma Tovu, what, or how good is your, or is it, it's like how, what? It's like the potential that it could be. Ma is not like Chachma, like Kayachma, the power of what. Mm. Okay, so before you can even start reaching to a potential of where your davening is going to take you, you have to first sit down and say, okay, God, you win. I'll love him too. And it's not lip service, it has to be emes. Because otherwise, what's your davening? Your davening, you want your davening to be emes. So the Alter Rebbe put that in. Is it part of the davening? No. It says nachon lomer kaidem hatfila. You have to say this before you start davening. It's not part of davening.
No, it's not nice to say.
Nachon means proper.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a prayer. It's not a bracha.
It's a declaration.
Is it like matohu? I mean,
it's a declaration that I'm going to do such and such, that I'm doing such and such. Now, if you didn't do it correct, okay, so the first thing you do is you start davening with a lie.
Oops.
Okay? I love everybody, Hashem. Except I don't love that guy. Oops. Okay, like you said. Okay, so now I'm ready to start davening to you. Okay? And I want you to deal with me truthfully. Okay? But you're not dealing with Hashem truthfully. Okay? And when a person can do so now, how is it a person can do that? It makes davening that much easier, because what do we realize? The person realizes that what's important is the soul, the etherealness of creation. When a person realizes that what's most important is the etherealist of creation, so now he's ready to approach davening. Because how are you going to daven? You're going to say Hashem Echad, I'm one with Hashem. And then, like the Alter Rebbe wants you to do, is you're going to take it, you're going to bring it home. As it says, we're talking about Hashem's Ratzin, V'reise b'tshuvosim shol rishayim. Hashem does not want the death of the wicked, Hashem wants the tshuva of the wicked. He wants to come back. V'ein echafes b'misasim b'rishayim v'tahir einayim erayis b'ra. Ein ritzayn v'achmasa imidas chaste v'rachmanasay v'shar midas of ma'isifim by riba harkava chas v'shalom. And all these attributes that we just said don't add any. They don't make Hashem bigger. Now I got a bigger God now, because he's now the God. Before I had didn't have any ratzon. Now this God's got ratzon, so it's a bigger God. No, it didn't make God bigger, because we're not adding anything. It's not multiplicity. All we're doing is just defining what's already there. Umahusa, you got a question? Umahusa v'atz musay. Okay, and it's not anything composition in his essence and being. El atz musa mahusa v'ritzayne v'chachmasa u'binasa v'dayta u'midas chasta g'vurasa v'rachmanasa v'tvarasa hakalulam b'chasa g'vurasa v'ken shar midas hakadushas hakol achdus parshit mamish. That's all you did. You can put a semicolon there. It's only half the sentence. Because all the attributes of Hashem, and going through this whole list, and then just saying that kindness and severity are the root emotions, and all the other emotions that branch off from it are all united with Hashem in a simple unity, that if you could dissect it, all you would see is Hashem.
Right. This kind of reminds me of Micha on Yom Kippur, the Tomer Devor, the part beginning.
Yeah. Where do you think he got it from? Probably from there.
Probably, but...
Yeah. He said, he's only a malachite. He's just a compiler.
It does say Mira.
He asked Musa Amahusa that this is Hashem's essence and being. What is Hashem's essence and being? Well, Hashem's essence and being is Achdus Pashut. But in order to make it user-friendly, so it's got a Ratzon and a Chesed and a Gevura and etc.
The
Rambam says, you can think about this from today until tomorrow, you're not going to have a clue what this means. Because we have to think, if I have Hashem, at a certain level, Hashem is expressing no level of Ratzon, and now, And where we come up in the Seder Histalshus in the creation process. At this point, Hashem has Ratzon. So before Hashem didn't have any Ratzon. Now Hashem has Ratzon, so it's a bigger Hashem. That's the way we think. We think in those terms. So he wants to say, because it has to be that if there's something that wasn't there before, now it is there, so then that's an add-on. That's just, you know, we're stuck in three-dimensional physics. Okay, so that's what he says. We can talk about it and say, oh, of course, it doesn't make any sense. Because Hashem has to, nothing can get it. There's no space where to add anything onto Hashem, because Hashem doesn't take up any space, no time, no place. He doesn't have a body, all of those kind of things. And you know what it also boils down to? Because we're basically parroting it. We're parroting words that have been parroted for 3,300 years.
Right.
Because to talk about Hashem, we can't. We can feel it must be that way. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
But to talk about Hashem, we don't have the power to do that. Ki adam mitzayir b'sichla kol hamuskalos yoreitza lahaskil lahavin hakol b'meach. Anything you want to think about, what do? You sit there and you think about it. And everything you're thinking about, there's here, you know what it is? What are you doing? It says, I'm thinking. It says, what are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about doing such and such. Is that doing such and such you? No. What's something outside of you?
Right.
That's the way we think about thinking. Okay? Which is nothing wrong with that, because that's just the way we're programmed.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
You know, you're going to think about, you can't, if you think about yourself all the time, I mean, that's, you know, what are you going to get? I'm thinking about myself, and then you're going to become the outsider. V'loy b'lev adam lahakir b'barim ki ha'adam esayim 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 hakol kamei shehem by kigain shereisa l'tayir b'sichu l'mahusa ratzin l'mahusa chachma oibina. Like, for example, a person is sitting there and thinking about something he wants, some concept, some finalized thought he's thinking about, or das, omahus midas chesed v'rachamim, or he's thinking about, do I want to write the check, do I not want to write the check, all these things he's thinking about them. So he's not the check, and he's not the writing, and he's not even the idea that I want to do it for this guy because I'm a nice guy. He is what he is, and he has all these other things going on. But we're thinking about how all these things are in us. But we say this in Shabbos davening. Hashem is far exaltedly removed, even his name, even the revelation, even the little low godliness that we're perceptive of is totally, completely beyond our grasp. He wasn't into periods or commas, the rabbi. Sorry. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is separated and removed myriads upon myriads of levels, infinitely so, without any end, above and beyond, removed higher and higher from any type of praise or any type of quality that we as creatures are able to comprehend and to imagine in our mind. Any way that you... And a rabbi said, any way you imagine this stuff, probably idolatry.
Yeah.
Because you're imagining, what are you imagining?
True.
Things you can relate to.
Truly encouraging.
Yes, indeed.
Those that things our mere minds can relate to.
Indeed.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Can you say the, if you follow...
Screwed up my davening for the next 6 years, but we'll get past it.
No,
is that lipstick?
Isn't there a kosher path of analysis?
Like, if you want to think about what God is,
if you want to emulate, is God as best your ability? You can think about 13 attributes.
Stop trying.
I don't think you can.
And
do
that can give you plenty of work to
stop. Stop trying to
and then
think.
We're supposed to tell you what we do.
Yeah, stop thinking what God is and try feeling what God is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now it's good that you know the jargon that's coming down through the Kabbalah, but those are just GPS coordinates.
Well, you have to do something.
Yeah, you do.
You have to love people.
You have to get.
If
you want your relationship with Hashem to succeed,
you have to
get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's it.
Okay? Because when you say, I understand it, you just put up a big obstacle. Okay. It's a huge obstacle, because as soon as the person says, oh, I got it, they don't go any further.
Mm, yeah. The shingle means is the place you stopped.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Do that. Forget Kabbalah or Hasidus. You could do that in Gemara.
In anything.
You know what? I was learning Gemara.
Right.
I looked at the rock, you know, and I do the daf, so it's like you're hurrying through it. Occasionally, I'll, like, you know, I'll do some Chazar, I'll do some Rashi, so I've got this. So, Rabbi Werner turns to me and says, yeah? Look in the back. So I look in the back.
Yeah. And at a Marsha.
Thank you, and a Marsha.
And he asked 10 questions.
And I didn't know one.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Tosfos Rashi, okay. Marsha.
Yeah. Kimailas and Madregas of Rishayna Etzel Nevraim Hu Chachma. Because the highest we can relate to is wisdom. Shalachinik Rashis. That's why it's called Rashis Chachma. It's the beginning. And he's going to say when we get to the end of the sentence, and for Hashem, that's the bottom. Our top.
Is there a place lower than bottom?
Yeah.
That's infinitely below the bottom.
Correct. Our top is doesn't even reach Hashem's bottom. He be'emes hu reishis u'makor kol hachayos b'nivroim, because Chochma is the beginning point of the Seder, it's the whole entire creation process of the Seder Yistalshalus. Ki Chochma nimshachas bina v'das, because from Chochma you have drawn down understanding, you have knowledge. Umehem nimshachas kol midas shebenefesh, and from the intellect now you have all the emotions. Amaskelas kamay ahava v'chesed v'rachami mikiyotze behem, the love, fear, compassion, etc. Ukenira b'chush, and like we see, for example, Shaka, he brought this example back in chapter 6. Shakat and she'ein b'idas hu b'kas tamidi v'achzori v'gam ahava hu l'dvarim katanim. You have a little kid. Mm. Kid gets mad really easily.
Yeah.
And then what happens is he loves really stupid things also.
Yeah.
You have a two-year-old, the two-year-old's running a two-year-old trip, the two-year-old is now screaming his head off. You hand the kid a lollipop and he's in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay? Boss comes in, something that you did wrong, and he's blowing his stack. He's like about to have apoplexy, and you hand him a lollipop, and he's like in seventh heaven. I certainly suggest you go get yourself another job. You have a psychopathic boss.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got big problems there, because you expect, first of all, you don't expect the boss to get angry about something insignificant.
All right.
And nor easily be appeased by something like a lollipop.
Right.
Okay, whereas a two-year-old, the intellect is not there. So what got them upset is not something that really is worth getting upset about. And what appeases them is not something that gets them appeased.
Neither is the Yetzer Tov.
Meaning?
The two-year-old doesn't have a Yetzer Tov. They're just a Yetzer Hara.
Okay.
You get the Yetzer Tov by Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
I hope.
But you're talking about the intellectual development of the emotions. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, by the way, why it is, and it's not so fast. That's why from the age 13 to 20, all you 13 to 20-year-olds, do not turn off the, just put your fingers in your ears the next one, are not culpable of any punishments. Because Shem knows a 13-year-old's still a little kid.
Right.
He doesn't understand responsibility. We tell him, oh, now you count, now you have to go to a minyan every morning, you got to put on tefillin, you got to do this, you got to do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. That's just practice. Because it doesn't count until he's 20.
Don't tell him.
I only found that out when I was 21. Yes. Yeah. Right, now you tell me. Okay. So because Hashem recognizes that you need a certain intellectual development to do all this stuff, to be of a responsible nature.
So
it says you have in the laws of Nedarim, for example, you have a certain age of child where we'll take it up to the intellect of the kid. Kid says, I promise I'm not going to do such and such. Okay, do we count this as a vow or not? So it says, go investigate the kid to see if he knows what making a vow entails. If the kid hasn't got a clue, so then it's nothing, you know?
But they can't make a vow.
there's certain ages where we check it out, you know. Before, you see, you know. So
I can't. The first years of Sukkot, I can't hand them my.
They can't be kind of. They can't make acquisitions. That's correct.
So they can't do that. They can make a vow, though.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So
it's investigated. It's not.
Yeah.
Does he know what he's talking about?
The matter has to be understood. Whether the child comprehends.
Right, as far as acquisitions go, no. A kid below bar bat mitzvah does not have the responsibility or ability to acquire things because they don't know what that means, to acquire things. Wow. You know, maybe a 13-year-old does or doesn't either. I saw things happening with my kids around their bar mitzvah when they're saying, okay, I'll trade you one of these for one of those, and I'm me having to tell the kid, give it back to him and get your thing back. Okay, no, that was not worth it.
My kid was putting his tefillin in two separate rooms.
One in each?
Yep. He was putting his shel yad in the, keeping it in my study,
yeah,
dining room, and keeping his shel rosh in his bedroom.
Why?
Because he didn't, if someone came in to steal his tefillin, he didn't want them to know where both were.
Okay.
And that son's tefillin were stolen. It's real clear.
Okay.
Huh?
Fine. He's got a new toy. It's a two-piece toy. Okay. It'd be like putting the Wii console in one room and the Wii, whatever the other part is called, into the other. What do you think?
Do they meet each other every day?
They don't have Wii to fill in yet.
No.
You have my to fill in.
Never will be. Will.
Okay. That's what. So they don't have. So you have a cutting. She'ain royal lehava mibnei she'ain boydas la'ayev dvarim rarim lehava mitur. And it doesn't have the level of loving things which are more important. There's a story, I don't know if this story got around the internet, but I heard a story from Rabbi Gordon that he went into Yechidus with his family.
Levi Gordon?
No, Sholem Ber Gordon. Right, Levi Gordon's grandfather. Went into Yechidus with his family, and I believe it was for one of his children's weddings. And his youngest daughter was 3 years old. Okay. And the Rebbe talked to everybody in the Yechidus and talked to this three-year-old girl, and he said that he's going to give her money. So he said he's going to give her money. So he gave everybody in the Yechidus, gave everybody a dollar bill, and gave her a dollar bill too. And she said, when's the Rebbe going to give me money?
Right.
You know, so the Rebbe reached into his pocket and took out a nickel, and then she was happy.
Right.
Okay, so which is more worth more, a dollar or a nickel? Right. But to the kid didn't know. This is a piece of paper. What's this? Yeah. Money is a coin.
And the truth is, the kid was right. But that's a different issue.
She didn't know it was the coin.
Right, she didn't notice the. It wasn't a legal notice on the back of the bill that she was, you know, concerned about. Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so the kid doesn't know.
Yeah.
So we don't expect it of them. So we're all children of God. And only that, we're all little children of God. We don't have the intellect. Even the greatest thinker of them all, Moshe, it says when Moshe was shown Emes, couldn't handle it. He couldn't. Moshe could not handle it.
Yeah.
When was he shown
Emes? On the mountain. Yeah.
On the mountain.
What was
it says when Kishira Emes Nifel Alpanov. When he saw Emes, he fell on his face.
Yeah. Okay, that's the
one of the 13 attributes of mercy, you know. So when I got to the Hashem Hashem part, okay, I kind of got to that. But as soon as MS came around, that MS, you know, there's degrees in MS, you know, with how much you could say, you can't use the word comparable MS, but you have different levels of truth as they all on each level.
Right.
Okay, what's true for a for a two-year-old is not true for an adult.
Right.
Because a two-year-old can't relate to the truth of an adult. But a two-year-old can relate to a two-year-old truth. Whereas the adult, the two-year-old truth is false.
Hopefully.
It's nothing. Hopefully.
I know some adults.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they call them Super Bowl and NASCAR, right. She'ahava kefiha das, because love is based on intellectual abilities. And specifically das, which means, what practical usage am I going to derive from this concept? That's what das does. I want practical implication for it. And from now, the das, from the intellect, and from the emotions, there's now a development of, those are the ten attributes of the soul, and from that now come the person's thoughts, which are now the first manifestations of letters. Okay, as he said back in, where's that, chapter 20? Shahanafish machshevis bedover sha'ayhevis, because what do people think about? Things they want to think about. Things you like. So you think about things you like. Oh, how to go about getting it. It's one thing to think about ice cream, it's another thing about getting it. It's two different thinkings about. Became Bashar Midas, and so too does other all the other things. What he's afraid of, what is he derives as a compassion, what would he like to dominate over? Ubachol Machshava Shaba Elam Alubshas Ba Ezamida Hameviya Lachashav Machshava Zu. Every single thought has enclosed within it some character trait of a person's soul. And that is the chayas of the thought. Person's thinking about chocolate brownies. Why is he thinking about chocolate brownies? Because he loves chocolate brownies. A person, for example, doesn't know that there's such a thing called chocolate brownies. Would never ever think about chocolate brownies. Okay? That's why I like talking about other philosophies and philosophers, why Descartes was so far off when he said, I think, therefore I am. Mm. It doesn't bring it into existence because now you knew about it. Okay? His whole reasoning was, chocolate brownies exist because I can think about them existing, was his whole thing. It's punk verkehrt. Okay? They exist, and therefore you can think about them. There's such a thing called chocolate brownies, so therefore you can think about it. Okay? His whole thing with God, it must be a God, because since I can think about God, it must be that God must exist, otherwise I wouldn't be able to think about him. It's called Cartesian logic, you know, circular logic. He's the one who... That's what it is. That's what it is.
So it's a huge lie, so everyone...
Yeah, of course.
Just like go along with it.
You know, the famous line Descartes goes into a restaurant and the waiter says to him, would you like to try the escargot, the very good? And he says, I think not, and he disappeared. Mm. Yes. Ba-dum-pum. That's a philosophy joke.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's mediocre. But anyway, maybe Lahashiv. Machshavazu. Midazu, he chayosa shalom machshavazu. And this mita, this attribute, is the reason why this person is thinking about this thing. That's why I said the Baal Shem Tov, I think the Baal Shem Tov says is quoting somebody else. And Kesar Shem Tov says, what should a person learn? What should you learn? Baal Shem Tov says, whatever you want.
Right. Whatever.
Why? Because if you want to learn it, that's where your ratzon is. Nothing stands in the way of a person's will. If you don't want to learn this, and you have to learn it, okay, so for whatever reason is that you're going to have to do it, you'll do it, but he says whatever a person's will, that's where he is. What if a person's will isn't there, that's where he's not. So you're not there. But if you want to learn it, your will is there. I want to learn about this. And this is what happens. This is here's the Hayamya, famous Hayamya. You have in the beginning of Masechta Kesubos, you have all kinds of claims that are brought into a Beis Din, where the husband has all kinds of things that the Kesubah was written false. She's not up to what it says in the Kesubah. And she comes back with all kinds of counterclaims. Some of them are brilliant. And the question is asked, this woman doesn't learn Gemara. How is it that she's going to come up with such a claim? This is a very deep counterclaim over here. This is like, you know, third year law school coming up with this. And the answer is I think it's the Baal Shem Tov who brings it in. It's the Bartan and Hayam Yam. There's something that's really no gaya to you, if it really affects who you are, then it's. Then what's going to happen is that you're going to put yourself into it. And you're going to get right down to the bottom of it.
Right.
And yes, a person who never learned a Gemara is going to become up, will come up with the answer of the Marsha.
Right.
Because, why? Because they've made it to the point where it's relevant to them.
Right.
Because what is the Marsha doing? Is the Marsha adding anything?
No.
The Marsha is uncovering things which are there.
Revealing things.
So if he is, if a person is really relevant to it, if it really matters to them,
he can reveal those things.
They're revealing within themselves.
Right. Yeah.
That's the emotion, the attribute, the character trait, as it's enclosed in any specific thought.
Mm-hmm.
And from the thought, you get a speech. And what is it that you say? Something that you thought about, hopefully. And the thoughts are the life of the speech. Vahadibur maybe delay maisas. Then also the speech brings to action. And he says, for example, like maisas tzedakah. Person says, I pledge $100. Okay, what does that do? That brings it into concrete terms. Hey, buddy, you got to give $100. If a person was just thinking, yeah, it's a good thing, you know, I'll give, and he walks out and forgets about it, that's it. But once he's put it into Dibur, so that brings it down into the world that's going to bring him to do it.
Force, yeah.
It says, for example, Kagai HaMelech Mesava La'avdi Litein Gam Kisha Adam Isa Ba'atzmai Eza Dover. You have a king who commands his servant, go give this person something, even though the servant would have done it without the king's command, but the king's command makes it a something to happen. So now, the amount of soul power that it takes to do this thing that he's doing is incomparable to the amount of godliness which is engaged, which it takes to engage a person in speech. Uke'erech hamashul haguf l'neshama. Same way, the difference between, say, example, a soul and a body. Body exists, soul exists, they both exist, but the soul enlivens the body, and the body has very specific dimensions and the parameters. And the soul, you couldn't draw a picture of it.
Right.
Okay? So there's a relationship between it because your soul is enlivening your body. So your thought, your speech is enlivening your action. And they're incomparable the one to the other. And the letters of speech are incomparable to the letters of thought. And for the same reason. And so too, the comparability of letters of machshava, of thought, compared to this character trait, which is enclosed in the thought and enlivening it. And so too it is, this emotion, which is enlivening this thought, compared to the intellect which developed that emotion. Which that's the intellect from whence this concept comes. That's all within a person. And we said this before, that what does it take to get total incomparability? You go from action, speech, thought, emotion, thought, intellect. So you have total incomparability at that point. How many steps did it take to get a creation?
One.
No, infinite number.
Well, okay.
There's an infinite number. So he says, He says, when we're talking about how high we can go as high as Chachma. But we'll come back next week because he says we left it with a cliffhanger. Bavala Kaddish Baruch Hu. But with Hashem, as high as we can go, that's where Hashem stops. That's as low as it goes. To be continued.